So welcome back. I hope you had a good day of total immersion in practice. And so this morning we'll return once again to the meditative cultivation of loving kindness. And we'll do it in a somewhat different way this time. But I'll start with a very short story. It's a true one. It was years ago in a retreat. I'll leave this quite vague, but it is a very specific story. There was a woman that attended one of the retreats I led a long time ago, and very capable woman, very intelligent. I think she ran her own business, so really kind of a leader. She really was very, very capable, very good, a leader. Kind of tough, which is certainly not a bad quality. But as I got to know her from week to week, she told me that she didn't really regard herself as a very affectionate person. That was just her image of herself. She didn't see much evidence that she was very warm or affectionate, very capable, very efficient, ethical, and all of that. But she didn't regard herself as being very warm or affectionate or loving. So she was doing her practice. I think her primary practice was mindfulness of breathing. And on the side, we always do four immeasurables, so she's doing that on the side, but primarily mindfulness of breathing. And then one week she came in for, at that time we had weekly interviews, and her eyes were really quite bright. She was very, very happy. And she said, this past week, something quite remarkable happened I'd like to share with you. And that is, I was just practicing mindfulness of breathing. And the mind was getting calmer and calmer, really settling in, going deeper and deeper. And then out of the blue, just spontaneously, effortlessly, a sense of just unconditional loving kindness for all beings just arose out of nowhere. It was just absolutely genuine. It had no particular person in mind. It was just a general sense of affection, of warmth, of kindness to all beings. And it was just overwhelming me and surprised me, because I had no idea I had that in me, especially when it wasn't being specifically cultivated. But it just came up like that. And she said, you know, now that I've had that experience, that I know that's part of me, that's within me. And so now I know that's something I can tap into. It's there. I wasn't left out when they, you know, gave out, when whatever, you know what I'm saying? Nobody gave it out, you know. But I didn't miss out on Buddha nature, I guess. And so interpretation, she may have tapped into her own Rigpa. But I think it's most likely, because I tend to be a bit conservative on this type of interpretation, most likely, since she was simply practicing mindfulness of breathing, her mind just dissolved in kind of a spike or a very nice upsurge of loving kindness flowed from her own bhavanga, of the nature of loving kindness. And she got to see it. She got to experience it. And so I don't think this woman is alone in the sense of her self-image. And as long as one bears such an image, whatever it is, we all have, I think, our self-images, right? Then as one sits down and seeks to cultivate loving kindness with the sense that I'm not one of those very loving, warm, affectionate, kind people, but tries to cultivate it, it's kind of like having a big, heavy backpack filled of rocks on your back and climbing up a steep mountain. It seems like I'm going against my own character. I'm trying to work against my nature. Do something that doesn't come natural, that isn't really me, seem very confined, a very contrived, artificial, more technical, but she may not be alone in that regard. So we can all simply continue in our practice, the shamatha practice, and that will be leading to, they all go to that, converge to that point of the mind dissolving into this babhasacitta, this brightly shining mind. And so this bodes well over the long run, but we can also perhaps facilitate this opening up, this unveiling of a deeper dimensions of our own existence by the power of imagination. And so what I'd like to do this morning is to return to the practice of loving kindness, but do so in the context of pure vision, of divine pride, pure vision, within the context of the lake-born vajra sadhana, the short one. We'll do that again. And a crucial point here, I've been emphasizing it all along, and I'll do so again, is prior to arising from the three syllable and into the deity's partner, Mandarava. Prior to that, it's really so important. This cannot be overemphasized. Of utterly dissolve into emptiness. Every thought you have about yourself, you think you're a nice person, you think you're a not so nice person, you think you're belligerent, patient, impatient, generous, not loving, whatever, smart, not smart, and so forth, whatever self-image you've constructed for yourself, all based on bases of imitation that are not yourself, whatever you've constructed, and probably reified. See that you've constructed it. Stop reifying it. And deconstruct it and dissolve it into emptiness. And of course, we're doing this with the power of imagination, but we imagine dissolving ourselves, our body, speech, mind, the whole environment, all into emptiness, but not just a sheer vacuity, like an abyss, a mere vacuum, but this Dharma Dhatu, which is primordially indivisible from Dharma Dhatu, right? Dharmakaya, Buddha mind, the wellspring, the fountain of all virtues and of all genuine well-being. So imagine dissolving into there and having that identity, adopting, embracing. The sense of identity is, I am the purity of all sentient beings. I am that indivisibility of Dharmakaya Dhamma Dhatu. So even though it's a power of imagination, it's better than what we're already imagining ourselves to be. And what we're already imagining ourselves to be is a complete fabrication. It's a story we've told ourselves that we're taking far too seriously. This is a much better story. And it has a much deeper basis of designation. It's not wrong if you see that anger comes up a lot in your own behavior. It's not incorrect to say that, well, among the five poisons, I'm more prone to anger. I'm more prone to pride. Some people are prone to spiritual pride. And so forth. That's not incorrect. Not incorrect. But it's not the only perspective. Right? And so dissolve that. And then out of that, you develop the pure vision, the divine pride. And so it is really kind of like being, it is really, like being born anew. Born anew. You dissolve your old sense of identity. And this is a recurrent theme. It's a recurrent theme in Christianity with baptism. It's a recurrent theme in taking ordination, that you've now released your former sense of identity, your former appearance, even your former name, right? And you're taking on a brand new name. And they tend to be very inspiring names. Right? Very inspiring names. When you get a Dharma name or monastic name or a conventual name, it doesn't mean poor loser. Like, I've never heard that one. You know? Or kind of nasty person. I've never heard anything like that. It's always like, you know, something really noble, something lofty, something to aspire to, every single time, actually. And that's probably a good idea. Because we may have had, you know, from our childhood, other kind of names, you know, that maybe are not so helpful. So, and then within the context, so it's a very simple sadhana, as you know, and then arouse, manifest yourself in the form of the deity with partner, and then in that pure vision, and then as you can, and then we'll have some time just for quiet practice. And then during that time, you've got a couple of options. One is recite the mantra. And there's no reason to go quickly, because we're not counting up, you know, see how fast we can get to 100,000. Just at your own pace, recite the mantra. And as you're doing so, then imagine, you remember the visualization already, the light of blessing from all the Buddhas converging in from all sides, going outwards from the three syllable, from the surrounding mantra at the heart within the vajra, rays of light making offerings to all the Buddhas. But then, this time, special emphasis on this light, this reddish-white light, this white light with a reddish tinge flowing from the three syllable and the mantra out in manifesting loving-kindness. So simply practice loving-kindness. Every time you're breathing out these light rays flowing from the heart and touching, reaching out to sentient beings in all directions of a light of loving-kindness. And imagine sentient beings receiving this light, being touched by this light, transformed by this light, imagine them finding the happiness they seek, And of course, we end on pure vision. Imagine them all having been purified of all obscurations and having found the awakening that they that we all seek, really. So that would be the practice. And so, but here, within the context of pure vision, you see, this has now nothing to do with our personal history, our personalities, our self-concept, and so forth. Because as you're receiving the blessings of all the Buddhas, imagine receiving all the blessings of loving kindness, of compassion, of Avalokiteshvara, of Tara, of all the Buddhas, of His Holiness Dalai Lama, and so forth and so on. Imagine this all flowing into you. So it's way beyond the confines, limitations of your self-concept. It has nothing to do with your self-concept. You may be a bandit who just stopped being a bandit, or you may be a person who's just spent the last 50 years living an utterly saintly life, you know. Either way, again, at this point, it doesn't matter because you've dissolved that anyway, right? And so imagine you've got all this support, all this backup, all this light of loving kindness converging in upon, and then flowing out in all directions. So in a way, then you don't have to think that it's your loving kindness, because you may feel, well, I've only got a little cup of loving kindness, and I don't think I have it for my wife and for my friends, and I don't think there's much left afterwards. Don't worry about that. Just draw on the light of loving kindness of all the Buddhas, and it's inexhaustible. And then you just funnel it, you just channel it, draw it all in, and then send it all out. And so that would be the visualization. So it's not Donglen, it's not taking in darkness, dissolving it, and sending out light, which we'll get to. But this is taking in light and then sending out light. Taking in light to the point of supersaturation, you're totally full to overflowing, and then you're sending it out, but then without diminishing. So you're not getting weaker and weaker, dimmer as you're sending light out, but it's all an effulgence, it's all a bounty. Receiving a bounty, transmitting a bounty. But of course, this is fundamentally, if we really get down to it, it's fundamentally coming from your own rikpa, from your own pristine awareness, then that's inexhaustible. So there's no way this practice could ever deplete you. So that's a practice we'll do for those who are here in person, those who've been following the audio stream. But this is only, of course, this sadhana does require that you've had the empowerment. One should not engage in many Vajrayana practices without the corresponding empowerment. But I don't want to leave anybody out. And so if there are people listening, maybe by the online course, or there were a few people who, because of poor internet connectivity or what have you, were not able to participate in the empowerment, then that's fine. Don't worry. You're not left out. And so do the same sadhana. I'll be reading it. You can follow along. Doing the same sadhana, but instead of thinking of the lake-born Vajra and Mandarava, simply, if you will, of course it's voluntary, from this three syllable, imagine generating yourself as Avalokiteshvara, the embodiment of compassion. Forearmed is very good. If you don't right now know what it looks like, you can check it out very easily. But arise as the forearmed Avalokiteshvara, embodiment of enlightened compassion. And that's fine. I have it on good authority that this is a public dharma. And it's perfectly fine to do that practice without having empowerment. If you have, all the better. But if you're not, no worries. And so do the same practice, but generating yourself as Avalokiteshvara. And as we're reciting the Lake-Born Vajra mantra, simply, if you'd like to do the mantra, then recite Om Mani Padme Hum. So it's an archetypal form, archetypal, symbolic of the very embodiment of compassion. So very appropriate. But I know some people may, you know, if you're fairly new to Dharma, or you simply don't resonate with this kind of practice, you may feel, but I just don't see the point of visualizing myself in this way, and so forth. I just don't really deeply resonate with it. It doesn't. Maybe it will one day, but it doesn't quite really mean much to me at this point. This is not an act of volition. To shall I resonate? Do I resonate? Do I not? Do I have deep faith and devotion or not? It's not a matter of volition. So if that doesn't happen, then don't blame yourself. It's like not being tall or not being short, you know. So if that's the way it is, don't worry. Nobody's left out here. But there's still value in engaging in this practice with pure vision. And so if neither of the previous cases, simply doing this sadhana or in this form of Avalokiteshvara, if neither really resonates with you, then no problem. Still do this. It's a possibility. Same thing, dissolve yourself into emptiness. We really want to get rid of that old, worn out, stale, kind of smelly sense of personal identity that's been holding us back in so many different ways, especially when we reify it, right? And so dissolve that one. Bring all your understanding of emptiness to dissolving that one in exactly the same way. Om svabhavishuddha savadhamma svabhavishuddhoham. I am the purity of all phenomena. I am that purity. You can do that, if you wish. You can imagine. And then out of that, simply imagine yourself in your own form, the same appearance, but instead of imagining yourself, as you probably do right now, in terms of your body, as being chunky and fat or skinny and made of muscle and bone and tissue and blood and all those yucky things inside, instead of visualizing that, imagine that you've already achieved great transference rainbow body. Because whether you're visualizing yourself as Lakeborn Vajra or as Avalokiteshvara, you are imagining yourself as a Buddha. These are archetypal forms of Buddha, symbolic. But you may visualize yourself in your own human form. After all, many of the great enlightened beings of the past, still to ordinary beings like us, they still look like people, just people. Like Dubhwa Rinpoche, who said he could remember all his past lives. He looked kind of ordinary, you know. Milarepa kind of looked less than ordinary, a bit scrawny and so forth. You might remember the story of two young ladies who were walking by and saw him, this very scraggly, skinny monk. He wasn't a monk, but a yogi. These two young ladies walking by, and they looked up at him, and one of them commented to the other, "Oh, I hope we don't become like him," you know. And he heard them. He said, "Don't worry, ladies, you won't." So, but they look obviously ordinary, you know. And so that's going to be in His Holiness Dalai Lama. I mean, many people say, "Well, he looked like a very nice old man. You know, he looked human. He looked like us." And so visualize, here's the third option, visualize yourself in your own form. If you'd like to do a little bit of weight loss, you can do that. If you'd like to lose 10 pounds, you can, you know, right? Just visualize yourself, weight loss program. That may not be the best motivation, but, you know, it's still possible. But generally, more or less in your same form. But the form the same and the content completely different. So not made of matter, not physical. But imagine yourself in the same form, but imagine yourself, your whole presence here, purely an expression of the energy of primordial consciousness, pure energetic form, body of light. As if you've already dissolved all the materiality of your body into the energy of primordial consciousness, which happens when you achieve great transference rainbow body. But in this great transference rainbow body, you may still appear in the same way. You may be able to be touched and seen and heard. But all that's actually there is just a pure manifestation of the energy of primordial consciousness. Shimmering, translucent, radiant. You can visualize yourself that way. Transpersonally, transcendently, in the sacred form, which is your form but utterly purified. And then you can still visualize, if you wish, just the orb of light at your heart and do that way. So we have three options, but I'll go the route for those of us who have received the empowerment. And so please find a comfortable posture. Settle your body, speech, and mind in the natural states. And from this stillness and clarity, take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, in the Guru from now until you achieve perfect enlightenment. And for this practice, arouse the motivation of bodhicitta. Not only the aspiration, but the resolve, the commitment, the pledge to achieve perfect enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. To devote yourself to their liberation, their freedom, until everyone is free. Ah, or in the longer version, Om Svabhava Shuddha Sabhadama Svabhava Shuddhoham. From the absolute space of emptiness, the radiance of compassion spreads forth as light from the Hri of my own pristine awareness, purifying the entire physical world and its inhabitants in the nature of clear light. So out of this emptiness spontaneously emerges the seed syllable Hri, emanating this white light tinged with red in all directions, purifying all appearances. In an environment appearing as lotus light of great bliss, is a palace replete with all excellent qualities, in the center of which is a variegated lotus, sun, and moon. Upon this seat, the syllable Hri instantly transforms into myself as the immortal Tutengzel, glowing with a pale red sheen and bearing a beautiful youthful appearance. Frowning with compassionate wrath, but with youthful charm, I hold in my two hands a vajra and skull cup as I sit with my legs crossed in the meditative posture. I'm in union with Mandarava, of the nature of my own luminosity, who holds an arrow and life-giving vase. At play in the expanse of rays of rainbow light, we are adorned with various silks and jewels, tiger skin lower garments, and bone ornaments. In the pavilion in the center of the heart of the primordially inseparable Samayasattva, yourself, and Jnanasattva, symbolized as the Vajra, is a golden five-pronged Vajra. So the jnanasattvas are actually the ones who come from all the 10 directions, all the manifestations of Padmasambhava, converging in upon you indivisibly. And the jnanasattvas then are symbolically represented as this vajra at your heart. And you being indivisible. You as the samayasattva and the jnanasattva. In its center is a pale red syllable hri, symbolizing the essence of the life force, surrounded by a mantra garland. Rays of light are emitted from it, making offerings to the jinas, drawing in their blessings. Dispelling the obscurations of sentient beings and bringing them joy. All the nutriment and vital essence of samsara and nirvana in the form of light rays and nectar dissolve into the samadhisattva, hri, which blazes in glory. Appearances arise as the deities, sounds as the mantra, and thoughts as the nature of the indwelling ultimate reality. All as the play of the primordial consciousness of great bliss. So with this divine pride, the pure vision, the visualization, let's quietly recite the mantra, if you will. That is the carrier of the main practice now, the cultivation of loving kindness, as described before. Om Ahum Vadagura Pema Tutensa Vajasamaya Jasiti Palahuma. Om Ahum Vadagoda Pema Drutensa Vaja Samayata Siddhi Palahum Ah. As the deities, the great, appearing as the deities, the great non-objective clear light, free of conceptual elaboration, and originally pure, pervades the expanse of space. Again, like a rainbow appearing in the sky, this great clear light arises as the mudra of the three vajras. So now for a short time, dissolve all appearances into emptiness. Out of emptiness, re-emerge. Now in your own form, but purified. And imagine your own body, speech, and mind indivisible, of the same taste as the body, speech, and mind of Padmasambhava. And rest silently in that sense of indivisibility of your body, speech, and mind with the three vajras. Hold the visualization, hold the sense of identity. Relaxed, still, and clear. And simply rest in your own awareness, free of all constructs, imagery. Rest in the utter simplicity of the awareness resting in its own place. Kewadi in yududa, soke dorje dupgune, doachi kyamalupa, te sala gurba sho. So as much as you can, if you can maintain that quality of awareness, that kind of view, that will enrich the rest of your practice for all day and beyond. Enjoy your day. See you.